The gutter.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh yeah, that's right. Classic, man.
Before we get any farther, the coach has got a message that he wants to share with the Gutter Cat Gang community.
Chris, welcome to the family. Gang, gang. Now we can start the show.
Now we can start the show.
Yes, gang, gang.
Gang, gang.
Gang, gang. hold on, everybody. Welcome to NRN, another... You guys screwed up my whole intro. But,
that was Cryer over there talking over the thing on music, man.
No, I just minimized my screen. But what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Non-Refundable Podcast. A very special show tonight. Consider this a gutter state of the union, because tonight we have the new mayor in town, Mr. Noah. What is up, Noah? How's it going, gang, gang?
Let's go. State of the union. I like it. You know, the state of the union is... shifting, evolving, growing every day. So I'm excited to talk about it.
It is. I know you're super busy. You're out there, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies. You can consider us babies. We will accept that kiss on the forehead. But yeah, man, we appreciate you coming here. We know you got even another interview after this booked up, making his rounds. But before we get into the nitty gritty of gutter, you know, you touched on your background on some of the other podcasts that, you know, you come from a SaaS background. You're into startup, you sold your startup. If you could just touch on that and then kind of how that helped you evolve into this new role with Gutter.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, it's like, it's such an adventure the last six and a half years. And, you know, I've been working in SaaS and specifically financial solutions for, you know, fintech, banks, credit unions, lenders. And, yeah, I've been with some really, really big, the bigger players, and a good friend of mine found his way to a little startup company. And he was kind of talking to me about it. And I was kind of fat and happy with what I was doing with where I was at. And, you know, I took a trip out there and I met the founder, and I was like, right away, just like generational talent and is in the industry that I knew, like people, you know, everything really lined up very well to kind of start there early. And I wanted to make, you know, like I just, if I don't see opportunity, I'm trying to make moves. And if I don't see that, like I'm going to be trying to find other opportunities or make something happen. So, I mean, the last 6 years we started, you know, when I was there, started there, it was like 10, 15 people. And we went through several rounds of funding and grew this thing pretty quickly and picked up like one of the, there's so many like key lessons that you learn going through something like that, especially, you know, several rounds of funding. And we picked the right partner and they helped us a lot through that road, but just learned a ton. Like I would say, but some of the main things and like why it translates well into what I'm doing now is just building a team. And you know, you're like, I'm a very competitive person just naturally, but I also like to be extremely efficient and I like to work with people that are like-minded. And, you know, it was building a team and just getting after it and constantly innovating from a sales and marketing standpoint. So like this space is just really exciting to me. It's there's so much opportunity and we don't know what it's going to look like in 6 to 12 months. Everybody will tell you they do, especially on the timeline, but like, we're here to kind of blaze that trail. And I'm here because I think there's an opportunity to grow real businesses and build off of these communities and the emotional attachments that we have to JPEGs. I think there's a really unique opportunity here. So I hope, you know, this space can, you know, I can grow with it and vice versa.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. It's so important, like, to have that strong team behind you as a leader, and you come from that world and that experience of building a team. So yeah, that's awesome. Good to hear. But yeah, man, you're still in your first 100 days in office. How is the, how's the Oval Office treating you?
I would say it's the last 2 weeks have been extremely challenging, just to be honest. Like, you know, I came in confident, but it also was an emotional roller coaster, just kind of preparing for what you got to do when you get into this position. It's like, I knew what I was getting into, and I knew the things that I would need to do is putting myself out there, communicate, be transparent. You know, building in public is something that is really interesting to talk about, but like, I've always sort of been like, looking at my last position too in the SaaS world, it was really interesting when I started to win awards in the industry. It was like secret weapon, or this is, you know, like it wasn't like I was the CEO out there, the front facing person, but like making a difference was always extremely important to me. So I really liked the smaller company where you can make a difference. And I think it's just like really exciting now to be able to take this jump. And these, I know you guys have heard a lot from me in other spaces and whatnot, and how the whole contract process and went down and all that. But like, I really didn't know that I was going to be fully into this like 3 days before we signed this agreement. And this was a full company, right? They had 12 people at one point. Paying $1.5 million on annual salary to these people, W-2 corporation. Like, this just wasn't a bunch of JPEGs on the internet. You know, this actually was an incorporated business with W-2 employees. So there's a lot of things that you have to evaluate and peel back. So you learn a lot. And yeah, like, revenues aren't here right now. So you got to make decisions that can build off of later. Like, you got to create your foundation, and the first thing is your people. It's all about the people and being smart with figuring out, like, one, you come to this business, you kind of know what to expect, but then you don't, and you have to learn it all before you can bring in the right person for that position. So like, where it may seem slower to the outside, like, it is extremely fast paced inside.
I mean, that's great, man. I mean, I heard you mention that you were getting antsy to get into something different, unique. I mean, there are a lot of experience. There are a lot of different potential segments of business to deploy capital that are providing maybe some hope of return. My question is, why NFTs, man? Why did you pick NFTs, and why now? Because, you know, this market, you know, we're seeing probably the worst of the worst right now. We're all going through it. So why did you pick an NFT project to buy?
First of all, I'm always a little bit of a contrarian investor. Mm-hmm. I've been investing stocks, options for 20 plus years. And I think some of the best moves you can make is when you catch others offsides. Mm-hmm. And the dislocations in the market happen because of many different factors and variables. And where we're at right now, it's a tough period. It certainly is. And I was like, I love this space. I really think there's something here. I have a very entrepreneurial spirit, and I've always wanted to like do something, and had evaluated many different opportunities, but I'm just not like what do you see in this space, right? It's give me money and then I'll do something for you. Give me money and then I'll do something. Like, mm-hmm. I just
the NFT Kickstarter program.
I'm not about that, because like, we all know 99.9% of businesses fail. It's not gonna be any different in this space. So mm-hmm. like, when I look at it, it's kind of the perfect opportunity to be that black swan, to be different, to show you that you can come in here with your own capital and prove yourself and then build. And, you know, like, it's actually a very interesting time to me, because you take money off the table. You know, there's not everyone's racing to get mint money, and you know, there's just not out there right now. And royalties, like, we're on dated, like, old contracts for our assets in some cases. So like, we're not enforcing royalties. We're not collecting big checks there. So like, it's an extreme challenge, right? And I think about it all the time. I could have took, you know, the money and just went in an easy, you know, funds, or, you know, chase dividend plays and set back and enjoyed myself. But like,
yeah, there's 5%. There's 5% you can get risk free right now, Noah. You can get 5% risk free, and you're gonna go and turn around and invest it in an NFT project.
Dead bored.
Like, I'll kill myself if I'm bored. So like,
there you go. There you go.
Exciting.
Yeah. Well, also, like, a lot of people, if they speculate or want to get into NFTs, they just buy a few NFTs. This man invested in the whole project, which is a kind of a madman move that you love, but just to have that conviction and in an OG project, like you mentioned in a previous show, you know, it's something that will be set in stone forever. So it's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And we had just talked about, you know, Luca came on our show a couple weeks ago, and he was talking specifically about this. You know, he was specifically said that he couldn't believe that, you know, no one wanted to hear what he had to say when he took over for Pudgy Penguin, right? Like, everyone was like, who is this asshole? Why are they buying a rug? You know, and, you know, that drove him even harder, right? He's like, I'm putting $2 million of my own money into this. Why would I let it die, right? And I see a lot of that also in what you're saying. So what's your goal? What are you trying to build with this? Is it similar along lines? What are we changing on the roadmap here?
Changing on the roadmap. Well, we got a fresh slate, but I'm also, you know, I certainly, like, I've been a community member too, right? Like, yeah. I put 75 plus ETH into the Gutter Cat Gang just because I've loved it and collecting.
Wait, let's touch on that real quick. Let's touch on that. How many Gutter Cat assets? I mean, what's your Gutter Cat bag looking like, if you don't mind sharing? You got, like, are you a kingpin?
Yeah, I have 5 cats at least, but like I went for flavor, you know, like,
yeah,
when I bought my PFP, I looked almost at every cat in the collection, and I had like a couple guys, because like the community was, it wasn't dying then, it was still pretty hot, like there was a lot of traders in there, so I met a bunch of people, and then I picked out this cat because like I wanted to build a personal brand in this space, you know. Mm-hmm. When I first came in to NFTs, I'm like, oh, my background is just gonna be awesome. I'm gonna be able to build something right away. And it's like, nah, like this is a totally different arena. You have to, you know, build your personal brand, and you gotta do it through social media. And I had never done that before, right? I wasn't on social media. Like, this was all new to me. And then I was like, man, I really feel at home with the Gutter. It's my favorite IP. I'm starting to feel the potential of what IP and what you can do with it in the space. So like, I went through the collection, and I wanted a naked, tatted cat. I love the white eyes because you can customize it, and there's a lot of things you can do.
White eyes on the white background, too.
No, that cat's dope, man. That cat's dope. So how long have you been in the Gutter Cat Gang? When did you first get your Gutter Cat?
I think it was like, so my first asset was a juice, the D1 juice, and... I didn't know too much about the Gutter. I was hanging out in other communities, and I bought a juice. I thought it was deflationary, so I just threw it in my wallet. And then D2 clones came around. I'm like, this art is ridiculous. The clone machine is pretty cool. So that's when I just caught the bug, and I started, like, I got this problem with building bags and communities. I get excited. I buy into what the founders are saying. You know, like, I've done this several times. Like, learn your lessons, right? But no, it's been like a collector, a fun experience for me though. Like,
for sure.
These are my decisions, like, at the end of the day. So, I've enjoyed it. I got a lot of bags, but, you know, I've also learned a lot.
Don't we all, baby. Yeah. Don't we all, you mentioned the juices, right? That's where you started at. That's where a lot of us kind of got nervous at, because of the supply and demand, issue. Do you think the Gutter Cat Gang is overcrowded now? Do you think we got a little bit too many clones and what would you say, Nate? Clones?
Yeah, but are you pro depopulation?
The burn.
You know,
is the supply too large basically right now?
You answer that, Noah?
Yeah, but we
can't forget that, you know, these secondary collections, they did offer that lower price point for people like Noah to get in. Not saying you didn't have money to get a cat, but it's like, if you want to dip your toes, maybe you go for the Gutter Vial, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was buying clones above 1 ETH. I was a moron, trust me. Like, I really enjoyed it too. And again, like, I think this is why I want to do something in this space this bad. Like, I really see the value and the emotional connection that people have with the art, with the other people that are here. Like, that's a foundation that you can't find other places to build off of. I was collecting, I was enjoying it. I've done the same in other communities too. And I meet a lot of great people, and I have fun doing it. And experiencing like what this space is all about. And it's always been kind of study, right? What are these founders doing? How are they relating well to their community, to the broader audience? You know, remember when DYOR was a thing? Like I thought I always did my own research, and my research must have really sucked or something, but I bought into a lot of sales pitches.
Research if you're looking at this as scrolling Twitter.
But like, of course, we all look at it somewhat as an investment. But to me, like at the end of the day, it was more about the experience that I had, and it's an expensive one at sometimes. But
yeah. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, I think all of us are here for the reason that we weren't trying to flip NFTs to the beginning. Like Nate bought his ape because he was like, oh, this is cool. Right. And you were, and it was like underneath, like I came in and I was like, oh, wow, this is, you know, I got in with like Lonely Alien Space Club and I was like, oh, these are cool. I like aliens. Like it had nothing to do with like, oh, I'm gonna make money here. Like I was already trading crypto. It has nothing to do with that. I was like, oh, this is just a cool way to experience a new way with crypto, getting some art, getting some stuff to showcase. Right. And it kind of got bastardized into this like, oh, what can I mint to make money next? Right. So, you know, I do think that that's what the underlying benefit of NFTs. It's not about, you're not trying to, like, people making shoes aren't trying to get people to buy them to flip them. Like, right. They're trying to get them to wear them and enjoy them. The shoe, right. They're not trying to do this.
Jordan
so,
brand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying though? Like it's more about like, you know, the use of it or, you know, Funko's or, you know, look at RSG, like that mother. Yeah. It's about like, you know, if you like the content or you like
the
product,
an asset in the hopes or expecting something in return, whether it's monetary or not, you know, like, yeah, like you buy those shoes and that's it. Like you could flip them, but there's no expectation. And that's sadly, you know, a lot of holders have this expectation.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, right? It goes to the laws and the regulations that are going to set the tone for the space over the next year or two. Once the guidelines are in place, we'll see real money come in and we'll, you know, then you can start to make investments and be confident when there's like no clarity and there's a lot of risk. So that's why I think you don't see many, you know, business minded or people thinking the space is legit. So I like to be early and I don't know. I just, there's something special here. Right. And I now have the opportunity where I have this like clean slate, but I also have an amazing jump start. And man, like it could have took me a year or two to try to build this or raw IP. I might never get there. And you see the passion, and like that is what's going to be the key to this success. And that's what we're going to unlock in very interesting ways.
Obviously, you bought the Gutter Cat Gang because you felt that there were some changes that probably needed to be made. It could be, you know, you thought there were some improvements that you could bring to it that maybe are insights that the other founders didn't have. But before you get into that, or before we get into that, what do you think that Gutter has done right so far?
Oh, a lot of things. I mean, look at the art. You know, that speaks for itself. They've done an amazing job at their quality and what they put into releasing the art of all the collections. Like, it's awesome, man. Like, I think a lot of people vibe with it, and there's a culture and something real you can build off of cool art if you have great story and other things along with it. So I think they've been great there. I think they've been great with the partnerships. We've seen Puma partnership, the Jeff Staple, you know, like there's been a lot of them, right? And they've shown that they can set those up and deliver, and that there is real opportunity in that world. I think they've done a really good job with the quality of the product that they've released. You know, and the community just kind of created itself. Yeah. Like I wasn't in the OG community, but I just hear everybody talk about it. But like, why did everybody come together around Gutter? There's got to be some reason, right? Is it the art? Is it influential people that were there? Is it these partnerships? Like, what was it? But like, I really deep down think it's just kind of the culture and like this gritty, perseverance, scrappy culture that's very interesting And yeah, that's exciting. Like,
yeah, it was cool. Definitely unique when I got in. I know that's kind of what you, it was a unique community, but in the sense that it was different from every other community that I felt that I was a part of. And I don't know about you guys, but I felt like, you know, yeah, Gutter, it represented, you know, the gutter, like, you know,
it was,
yeah,
grimy, it was like real, yeah,
it was the D-gen of the D-gen, man. Which that was unique. So, I mean, in that same sense, or I guess the reverse of that, or the inverse of that would be, what do you think they've done wrong? What do you think they can improve upon? You know,
well, when you say they can,
or the project, like, can improve upon, you know,
yeah, I mean. I think you've seen pretty quickly, like, what I'm about. You know, I'm accepting the build in public. I'm accepting the challenge of the balance of building something and sharing what's appropriate. It's always going to be an interesting challenge as you grow, and accepting the challenge of building a team that's lean, so that the investments can be made to deliver things and experiment for the community. So it's very important to put the money in the right place and put the people in the right place that have the passion that can help me on this mission, that are excited about it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, as business operators, like, yeah, there were some things that made a lot of sense when you're minting stuff and making money, but they make no sense now. So, like, communicating, mm-hmm. they were horrible. Yeah. Let's be honest. 2 AMAs in 9 months, that's not going to work. That's not going to cut it. You know, operating the business in challenging circumstances with the structure that they had with 3 found, that's just not going to work. So yeah, like, there was just a lot of things that made sense 9-12 months ago, but in challenging circumstances, like, again, a lot of these businesses failed, mm-hmm. because culture, because of the people aren't right in the right positions, or, you know, you can't pivot. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy for a lot of projects, I'll say that. But, you know, like, I acquired the assets, so, like, I'm just ready to rock with the assets, you know.
Yeah, and I was just gonna ask, you know, in relation to you know, the comment of the previous founders not doing, you know, too hot in certain areas, the 2 AMAs in 9 months in particular, like, we're, you know, we're all aware of that. Obviously, it's, you know, you get no follow-up for a while, you're like, what's going on? Because, like, 1 or 2 tweets doesn't cut it. You really have no idea what's going on. But that being said, what is the previous founder's,
yeah, they really don't have any,
or what is their, like, so, involvement going?
There's nothing required. Let's leave it at that. Like, again, we talked about, what did they do right? They did some pretty dope activations. They had some amazing IRL for events. Sure. Like, I hear constantly that these events were really cool.
I took 5 people to the first one, and literally every single person bought a cat or some sort of gutter asset after the party. Right?
Yo, you got to tell that story. Not only did you take 5 people to the event, you all got in Discord and started shilling the event to us, yep. in Discord, for those that didn't attend in my Miami Art Base, Basil. Okay, but yeah.
So I'd love to tell it from my perspective, because I was one of those 5 people that had no interest in gutter. I really had no interest in gutter at all. And then I went to the Miami Art Basel event, and it blew my socks off. I was like, this is the coolest, like, hangout event ever. You can actually talk to people.
No women.
It's like a band going on, or like a nerd out fest, you know, with no women. It's like a nice, like, mix in between. There's food trucks, drinks.
Your women, yeah, there's ladies, the women everywhere. And your wife,
like,
were there?
They, you know, like, my wife's there, you know what, you know, but that's obviously, you know what I'm saying? But we go to this party. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say. So we go to this party, and then we all buy something within 24 hours. And, like Yava
said,
Red,
like,
Sox
guy,
there, and
buy a cat and then
stuff.
Leave.
Like,
and come
I wasn't
back
a big fan of the
bracelet.
Heart. And
he bought a pigeon. I believe they both bought pigeons. Bought yeah. So they could get a bracelet.
Yeah, he bought a dog just so he could get a.
Move.
He bought a $5,000.
But yeah, I mean,
just
so he could get a wristband to get free
time to get into a party. Huh?
And what do we all say? Goodbye, Red Sox guy. Goodbye.
Great
but but you know, you
he,
you raise you
he
raise a good
those
point.
Benefits
we're all like
immediately great though. Okay,
and we all did it right after him.
He got right in.
Utility.
But no, you raise a good point, because I heard you mention that, or I've heard it mentioned before, that you haven't attended a gutter event yet, have you?
I haven't attended a NFT IRL event yet. Like, I am so...
Oh, man. Bought it right at the right time, my friend. Yeah. About to be in the bull here.
Okay, so here, let's talk about something with that real quick. Because building a team completely remote is very challenging. Mm-hmm, like, for sure. IRL, I have managers underneath me that when COVID hit, and they weren't together. And there's kind of junior people that needed mentoring and things like... When I first started, like in our, like my startup world in 2017, summer 2017, like we fly out to Utah and we'd be in the office for 12 days and I'm mentoring, working with people. Like, to do it all remote is different. It's new. It's challenging because having a dinner, having a beer with people is important, like building rapport and relationships. That's something you don't see much. Like, are teams coming together? Are these real? Like it's interesting. There are some like I think about like D-Gods or something. They have like houses. They all live together. Like, I think there's an advantage there. I really do like being together and building. So like me coming into this, I've already started talking about with our first launch and where our supplier might be. Like, we're going to hold like a little team gathering out there, get everybody out there, collab with other communities. Like, we are going to be very much the collaborative community in the space to like bring communities together. Like, I'm doing spaces with other like innovation at the community level. You don't see much of it anymore because there's no money. So people get bored. They start doing other shit. But like, I'm ready to innovate on a community level with like, there's just so much you can do. There's just an amazing amount of things you can do to make it interesting.
But
that don't cost.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. But how are you going to create the same vibe, the same experience that, you know, they've created in the past? Because that was one of the quality products that everybody liked, or that drew people in the gutter. Like, if you haven't been to that, if you haven't been to any of those community events, how are you going to ensure that that consistency remains going forward for future events?
Well, IRL is going to be important. Yep. Don't get me wrong. And I think our initial strategy is going to be like an ambassador program. Mm-hmm. Like, we have people in LA, we have people in New York, and then creating a budget for and guidelines for them to go use it and host the event. Like, it's like being the my brother would always say this. He's a baseball coach, and he's like, yeah, some of the, you know, the junior guys, they would just love, like, he'd be the head coach and their assistants. Like, when he couldn't make it one day, like, you know, the assistants would be so excited to get in there and lead and be creative and kind of do their own thing. I think there's an element to that, to just like giving people that creative freedom within the community, but also backed from the project. So yeah, I think there's a strategy there that, you know, I can't be everywhere at once. Mm-hmm. Like, our team won't be able to, but like, we'll have a really strong ambassador program.
I really like that idea too, because we've seen a lot of community, well, not a lot, but we've seen, especially like the Doodles, right? Like, they had a huge downturn. They were not very active. They weren't talking to their members. And then now we've had this huge push for their incubator. Incubator.
Yeah.
So you've seen like now they're having like parties. They know they just got funded for like a New York party a while back. Now they have like, they had like a doodle specific event for like a Halloween. Well, you know, they had that the haunted house, and then they had, global scale. So like, you're seeing, you know, the meetups in other countries and stuff. So I do think that is a huge, you know, area that is not really tapped into, right? It's like, if you don't live in the U.S., okay, great. You're not doing any of these events, right? You know, you always see that. You see people on the...
Think about, too, like, if I put on a party, the expectations. If Team Doodles puts on a party, the expectations is $100,000 minimum, trapeze people flying around. You know, it's got to be wild and lit, right? But if you have more of a subtle approach where the core really is just bringing people together, because the ROI on IRL events, like,
zero, negative,
the millions of negative dollars thousands. Those gutter parties cost, millions. Yeah. And yeah, you bought five whatever, but think about NFT world, you can just trade those the next day and there goes the loyalty. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you got to just be smart with it. And what is the core? What is you really trying to accomplish? It's like, people can go to Vegas for crazy stuff, but like, creating, hanging out, doing that stuff, like, it just has to be done in a meaningful way that is also, you know, supportive of the longevity of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, and again, like, I think that the, you know, how you're saying it's a massive negative on the ROI, right? The when I think about that event and like, oh yeah, it was super fun and stuff like that, the realist, the what I actually enjoyed was actually networking with people, right? Like I met a ton of people that I now interact with all the time. Right. So,
do you ever go to a dive bar with your buddies?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's just that's, as fun.
Well, it's more fun. Like, I'd rather do the
crazy fucking club than you ever seen. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. That party in New York was pretty insane, though. That dive bar. We were in the Flatiron building. Dive bar. No, yeah. no. We were in the Flatiron building in New York. That's kind of legendary, in my opinion. I don't know about that.
Okay, yeah. We got a little mix of each.
Also, let's not forget, you know, the last founders, they spent a shitload of money on those parties, and they were great. But, you know, I'm not saying it was financial, but, you know, it was hard to sustain. You know, we had a great time, but we weren't spending the money. So yeah.
I mean, if I was minting collections and there was onboarding people like crazy, yeah, we might consider it. But, right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It doesn't make sense now.
I will go bankrupt after
one. Hey, man, we could rent a warehouse, BYOB. We'll fill it up. We'll get a DJ. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
There you go. You just got to be creative and smart. Like community events that you just got to be innovative and ambitious and get the right people in the right places. And I am so excited about the people we brought on just this last week or two. Like it takes me a little bit to get comfortable and to like, really feel like this is the right person in the right role. And I just like, I would love if we had a ton of time, kind of tell you the stories of how these things came because they were really interesting. You know, I've been taking calls from community members. I send out my calendar and people kind of line it up and, you know, like I never know what to expect. Most of the time it's just great conversation. Yeah. I haven't had a bad one. And like some people are really ambitious that have been very successful in their life and they just want to like, they want to pursue something here. And it's been pretty cool. So making those decisions sometimes isn't easy, but it's going to set us up to rock, man. Like the people is what it's all about.
And I got a quick follow-up on that because you mentioned community, you mentioned people are reaching out to you that are in the community to try and do things. And I think that's great. But the one thing I've realized or observed across communities, activity is down. It's way down, way down, way more than it was during the bull. Like, do you still feel like you got that spark in the gutter community right now? Do you think, or do you think you got a little bit of work to do to bring it back?
I got work to do. Like, words are words, you know.
Actions are actions.
Like, actions. Actions are actions, right? Like, words literally mean jack shit at the end of the day. I mean, I know exactly what I got myself into here. And I've already like seen what you can do just by spending some time taking calls. And you just don't know what opportunity might pop up. Because again, it's a big part of my strategy right now is there's people I've been building here for a long time and they still believe and they actually have created some pretty dope shit and maybe they're trying to productize this and where some projects aren't doing as many of those calls or they're, you know, kind of relaxing a little bit. Like I think there's just so many interesting opportunities that are out there and I'm very selective. Obviously I'm not making decisions too quick. But yeah, I already feel very good about a couple of partnerships that will be both game changers for the gutter community, bring excitement, bring fun. Like bring some interesting stuff to talk about. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you're talking about all these members and just how you were talking about, you know, you came into the space, you saw that you have to build a personal brand to actually do anything in the space. And I think that really attracts people who want to actually, or like entrepreneur, like they're that's their style, right? Like they want to build something, you know, you could have put all that money and done, you know, sat back and been bored, or you can actually fucking try to do something, right? Like that's, I think that really NFTs attract that type of people, right? Like, you know, I was in crypto before, and I didn't have that sensation, right? I was like, oh, well, I like ETH. I like this. I buy these. Now it's
no friends. Just say it.
Yeah. No friends on the internet, right? Now you have like all these community members. And I think that's one of the biggest things that NFT, the ones that made it, right? The ones that all, you know, got funded and did all this stuff. They they didn't care about the community anymore, really. Like they saw that as like a, like no one really focuses on that as much. And that was a great point. I talked with Frank from D Gods in East Denver, and he was talking about, you know, community is like the core, and that's why he is doing the things that he does, right? And he said, you know, Bored Ape Yacht Club was killing it until we had the switch to the games. Like they weren't focusing on the community, and he's like, I'm gonna be that number one spot. I'm gonna be the community core. Like we're gonna take that spot over because they're straying away from it. Like they're giving up on their largest asset and their largest valuable real estate and going after something else. And I think, you know, you've seen kind of how that kind of portrayed or kind of played out, right? I've seen a lot of people in the Bored Ape community not really happy about what's going on. And you see a lot of, you know, there's some people that are excited, the gamer side, but like a lot of people on that side weren't really big gamers. I feel like I let a lot of Bored Apes that wasn't their thing, and they were just about the community and they wanted the social aspect.
They wanted the clout. All right, let's just put it. Nate wanted the clout. That's all he wanted. Like, he was a clout guy.
Get that? Well, yeah, I mean, if you don't have 100K PFP, well, don't at me, bro.
What is PFP all about, right? Like, we're PFP collections, a personal profile picture. And like, why does someone purchase that? It's to flex. It's to collect. Yep. Like, it's to show it off, right? Like, the end of the day, top of the whiteboard is to make sure your product is recognized in the space that you're in and be a leader there. So if it's not cool to rep your PFP and be part of your community, then what the hell are you doing? Like, that has to be your core. And I hear this all the time, like community, it's like so cliche. And like people try to, you know, label their projects. We're a culture company. We're a community company. I get it. Like, that is what you want to say, but what you do, it's again, different. that's like, it's actions, right? And we see this by where people want to spend their time. Mm-hmm. And D-Gods has been a great community, right? Like, it's the hustle from the founder there. Yeah. It's, you know, the transparency and the willingness to put yourself out there, fuck up or not, like, you're going to be out there hustling. So like,
learner.
Yeah, I think you'll get a lot of that with me too. Like, I hope I don't fuck up. I probably will fuck up. I've already fucked up. But like, I'm gonna be out.
Gonna
there,
be honest about it. Like,
but you're here, man. As long as you're still here and you're out front, you're taking those bullets, man. That's all that. I think that's all that matters. Like, I don't know. DJs are funny, man. Like,
some days you wonder why the hell you do it, though, because it is brutal. It's really freaking brutal, and it sucks. But. You know, the goods just got to outweigh the bad, and the potential has to be there. And like, yeah, maybe I'm crazy, but I truly believe it's there.
But okay, no, quick follow up, because I know we got to get out of here soon. You mentioned IP or the PFP and how it was flexed. And I think you mentioned earlier IP was a big important part for you. Where do you see that happen? Take fitting in for the Gutter Cat Gang.
With the PFP, I think what. Oh man, there's so many like places I want to go because I know we got to wrap here real quick. Like, I really see the business as like three different units right now. I see the, we talked about this so much, right? Like the Web3 DJing community, the PFP, like that's kind of the root. That's where this started. The expectation of some sort of utility with that, I think plays into the other areas that can help us pivot and to become a real business, regardless if it's crypto summer or crypto winter. Like, I'm not going to be sitting here worried about the price of Bitcoin or ETH is controlling my business or how many people want to buy an NFT. Like, I look at the NFTs, it's like, I don't know, like take an example of like NFL or football, then you got your Packers, your Jet, you got your teams. Right? Like if people aren't interested in football and that's slowly going away, of course the Packers or Jets aren't going to be able to grow, right? Like there's the macro and then there's the micro here. And like our PFP can only attract so much what's in this ecosystem, this group right now. So yeah, what's in this ecosystem, right? So like if you have any brains and you want to really build something, You have to, you can't just sit around and wait for the bull market to come. That's like,
wait for your customers to show up.
Like, oh, dude, the Bitcoin halving, and we're going to be
I've heard that.
All of a sudden, people are going to be pouring in. Like, I don't even think about that shit. Like, I'm thinking about, okay, what does a, like, how do you value a business and why is it special starting in this place, right? Like, so the other two places, the units you look at, all right, okay, like, I'll go to, the secondary, then what I think is the most important. I think like creating a product or service or something that makes sense to a traditional consumer has to be your play, right? Pudgy's with the toys, amazing work backing into the blockchain NFT experience for consumers. Because I'll tell you right now, my friends and family are never going to set up a digital wallet, buy an NFT, but buy crypto even for that case until it becomes much more of a consumer-friendly experience. Yeah. So now there's really interesting opportunity to build off of your community, not by selling them shit, but by giving them utility to the holders so that they can be part of this experience with your physical or collectible drop. There's so many easy ways that you can do that. So you'll see that from us relatively quickly. And now what I think is the most important and like where I see value, it's the key KPIs and the data around it. It's engagement, it's user growth, it's the attention. Like, what do big brands want? Where do they want to spend their advertising sponsorship dollars? Where might they be interested in doing licensing deals? Like, companies that come in and get funding or invest in these projects aren't just going to do it off of, oh, it's got brand potential. Like, maybe there's going to be dumb money again in our future. Who knows what happens with interest rates and so many other things in the macro environment that play into that. But they're obviously going to be smarter, right, with the places that they choose with their money. So these key KPIs and how you present them to businesses, like, what is your opportunity here, Mr. Puma or Mr. whoever, right? These big companies that have products and services that they want to talk to and market with. So what does that mean? What is special about Gutter? Creators. There's people that have been building with their stuff for 2 years. Look at the subgroups. Look at the quality of the content that's coming out of these groups. Yep. There's no like platform for them right now. And now this is like, this is how we can grow this brand. If we give a platform to creators that now, why wouldn't it like, why wouldn't your mom or someone else that's not into NFTs, like not like this content too? Like everyone can like this content. So building content creators underneath our brand, I think is key. But also what I'm very interested in is like the content creators too. So Gutter clubs, like Gutter Bats, there's like been some really cool clubs that have come out of this. And that content, like if we have a really good, like media, the media space is being disrupted. We see this all the time with individual content creators. Like, why can't we already have a community full of them, they have energy, passion in a certain topic, but there's no platform. So now if you create a hub where these things come together and you have traditional ways to authenticate users, Google or, you know, Facebook or what we're all, you know, familiar with, you don't have to own an NFT to be part of this. Like, to create engagement, to create interest in what the Gutter is doing, it doesn't mean buy our digital collectible. Like, it means get involved and you have opportunity to do what you want to do too, because we'll give you a platform for it if it makes sense, right? So I think the biggest thing is to create this thriving community around creators, around clubs, and now this engagement, now these eyeballs are something that makes a lot of sense to big companies. So the price of my NFT, the floor, like, of course I care because the people that have bought these NFTs care, but at the end of the day, our company will not be valued off of who wants to list one of their fucking digital collectibles because they have to sell it tomorrow because they want to buy a different one or a token. Like, that makes no fucking sense. So our company is going to be valued off of where is the value for these big brands and companies with their advertising, with their sponsors, you know, ship dollars.
So
that's where I see this going in the next year or two, potentially soon.
So are you saying you don't care about the floor price? And so many, I mean,
okay. If I said I don't care about the floor price, like what happens? Like, like people are like, probably not too excited about it.
Oh, 100%.
Right? So at the end of the day, I have no control over the floor. Everybody out there that buys the assets or interested in buying it, like, can I create demand for the assets because that is what you want to flex and that's what you want for your PFP? Sure, I think I might have something to do with that. And like, that's just building on the community like we were just talking about before. So Yeah, obviously I have to care about the floor, but that's not what's ultimately going to decide what
the goal is, right? Like, I mean, just like how, I mean, we started this company, for like media purposes, you know, we have a bunch of podcasts and all this stuff. We didn't start it because we're trying to, you know, essentially sell. I mean, we saw a bunch of communities do that, right? You know, like, we'll sell an NFT, you get access to our group, right? How many of those are dead? All of them. Every single one of them that sold an NFT to be a part of our community is dead, essentially, and like the alpha groups, right? So, I mean, look at like ours. We didn't do any of that. We just have people who are like-minded and came together, and they're not gone. They're all still here and still enjoying our you know, our group and our content. And we collect more and more people to add more content and do more things with the space, right? And we're up, you know, we got like, I don't know, 30 people that are now interested in making their own content and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's exactly similar to what we're trying to do, right? Like, we're trying to get these content creators, make it the micro, you know, just these news channels and media channels aren't going to survive after the baby boomers die. Like, they're not getting watched besides Yabba. Yabba's the only.
You watch the Anchorman and like the same funny jokes they tell and how just like cringe it can be.
Yeah, the only one that watches is Yabba. Yabba's the last surviving D-gen that watches the news there. So, but you know, I mean, like the.
I'm a news just as Polly. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's a huge win. I think it's something that, again, it's overlooked. You know, again, it's thrown to the wayside. Like, you look, I mean, I guess I'll bring it back to Doodles. We see so many people that like make art and make all these different cool things and just not showcased at all until recently, right? Like the whole incubator. Now you can showcase it and you can do these things. So I do think that's a great move. And I think that people that actually take that route are going to thrive.
Yeah. And we're going to have our niche, right? Like, we're sports, we're basketball. Musicians, we're collectors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, we're going to have our niche. We're going to be, you know, have a kind of a scrappy edge to our culture that's interesting, right? Like, I think we can still, you know, look to a broader audience with our niche because, like, everybody, again, I love to say this. I don't know. I forgot who told this to me, but, like, everybody's got a little gutter in them. Like, I didn't grow up in the gutter or, you know, tough neighbor like that. I had, you know, whatever, your typical middle class girl, but I so like feel like I resemble with the culture and the scrappy nature and get shit done and like build with what you have. Someone else said that to me too. It's like you're working with what's around you. So like, yeah, I think culture and like truly culture is at the core of this, and like the art and those things just like drive that, right? It brings it out and it gives it opportunity. So I'm gonna give this community and this brand an opportunity that deserves that didn't have before.
That's awesome. We know you got to get out of here pretty soon, but a couple quick things before we do. Can you just touch on the difference between Gutter Labs and Gutter Entertainment? Are they both coexisting or is one extinct?
Yeah, there's just two LLCs. Yeah, the Gutter Labs was the previous founders. That's their company. That's who I acquired the assets from. Gutter Entertainment is the new LLC that acquired the assets.
Got it.
All right, that's clear. Last little question here. When Gang Token?
Motherfucker, every goddamn time. Yeah,
we're just doing our job, Noah.
No Gang Token.
Hey, Noah's gutter right now. He's like, don't ask me about no fucking Gang Token, man. That's the gutter coming out of Noah.
I thought y'all were different.
If I ever put out a token, it's not going to be called Gang. Yeah. Yeah. But like, that joke will still be funny in a decade, probably, from the OGs that are still. Yeah. You know, things will look a lot different, but that'll probably still be funny. But yeah, like in previous forms of tokens, I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, these tokens that create giant liquidity events and people get to just dump on retail. And like, I don't have any interest in that type of a format. Like, so,
and you know, yeah, what?
I think there are a lot of great ways to leverage a token to power an ecosystem, gamification, so many things you can do with it. So that's very interesting. But in the form that everybody thinks of it as, like, yeah, I mean, that makes zero sense for this.
No, it's like I was just starting to like
Fucking ruin the interview right at the end.
That whole
It's those apes, man. They got that one token drop, and they just want more.
Well, you know what? That could have been.
I got so much more to talk about, but
right. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, that could have been a blessing in disguise. It could have been a bullet dodged. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of detail and history there that obviously we can't go into, but like, it's not even my place to. But yeah, I mean, what do you think the price of a token, if it would have dropped, would be? Like, look at all the other.
Zero.
You think that would be good?
Right. Man, there was nothing to use it on, man. I mean, there was absolutely nothing to spend any of these tokens on. Not at that time,
but I will tell you, there was a lot of investments that I've acquired these assets into some dope shit that would have come with that, or the plans were for it to come with. Like, Gutter would have been rocking, man. Like, yeah, it played out horribly, obviously. But yeah, like, it would have been like, some of this stuff that I acquired with the assets, like, I'm going to be using it. It's just, you just can't do it in its current format or right now. But like, there was some really, really neat stuff that was part of that. So obviously, when you're reviewing that, that's part of your decision. And at the end of this thing, I was like, I just cannot not do this. You know, this is a really interesting situation.
Yeah. Real quick on that note, the partnerships that were in place beforehand, are they still in place? Can you talk about it or not? Because I mean, they secured some of the best partnerships, I feel like, in the space.
Yeah. So I think that was another big, you know, something that was like really exciting to me. Because like, when I was working on my own community IP deals, like, I worked on, my eyes really started to open to where the potential was, when, cause like, I had tried all these things on my own, and I wasn't going to put a bunch of effort and time if I didn't see like, you know, real opportunity there. And, I wasn't going to create a whole business around just cause I own this art. But there are a lot of companies out there that have a great product, in a certain industry, but like, again, like, selling into or an audience that's excited and passionate about a brand is a huge opportunity. So like, I saw this firsthand with something that I was working on. And that's when I realized there was big value. And why did this company, like, why was their interest? Like, part of that was me talking to them about the Puma deal. Like, look what they pulled off. Look at the interest here, LaMelo Ball, you know, and like, big names have Gutter Cats, and they vibe with this brand. So yeah, these partnerships definitely help.
Awesome. Noah, dude, we're going to cut you loose, but we really appreciate you coming by. We know you got another meeting right after this. I mean, gang, we appreciate
you
coming.
Stay on
the grind. Noah, let me say this.
Bring me back in like 45 days, and I think we'll have
45. Wow.
All right. The end of the 100 days.
100 days.
That's right.
How many is that? Like 70? I don't know. Again.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll get you on day 99 in office.
Noah's, we're all going to get on that.
Bill, on your own. You can partner. And yeah, I mean, there's not a day that I don't wake up really early with like some interesting idea that like I go through in my head like a bunch of different times to see if it's real. And then if it checks all the boxes, like, I'm going to try to implement it that day. So yeah, there's a lot of shit in motion, so we'll see if I can do it. You know, it'll be fun.
We're all ready to get on that arc you got, Noah, and take us to some dry land, because we're out in the ocean and we're drowning, man. So we need
two of every cat.
Yeah, just two of every gutter cat by gutter cat. We are on that boat, man. So
love it.
Good stuff.
I love it.
Have all right. Next gutter con on a boat.
Bring a big arc there.
Pirate ship.
Yeah. Pulled up on an island of money. That's cool. So
I love it. Noah, we appreciate you, man. Have a good night. Gang to all of Gutter Cat Nation out there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Gang.
No.
Yaba, Bud, and Noah. Catch you guys next week. See ya.
Yeah. See ya.
Gang.
Peace.
Keep it gutter.